As you know, in these morning services, I'm preaching through the book of Genesis, and we've got to chapter 2 this morning. Chapter 1, you may remember, is the story of creation. God created the heavens and the earth. And then in 6 stages, he changed the formless and empty planet Earth to a wonderful garden of life and beauty. Now we come to chapter 2, and I just read the first 3 verses. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the 7th day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the 7th day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God enjoys all that he has made. He has created everything in harmony with his own overflowing love and beauty. He has created nature in such a way that nature itself can not only receive the love of God, but respond in love and praise to God. God has given nature its own mind and voice to praise God. The birds, the animals, the mountains, the rivers, the trees cannot praise God. They need a voice and a mind to lead them. And that mind and voice that leads them is man. By man, of course, I mean male and female. I use the word to mean all humanity. So man is given the task of representing all of nature and voicing its praise to God. So on one day, each week, man's chief purpose is to join together to voice the praise of nature which cannot speak, to voice the praise of all of nature to God. That one day each week is to be a day of joy and love. It is to be a holy day. It is called the Lord's Day. And the place that man comes together to do this is the church. And when we are together, we are called the church. If we do not bother with coming to church and do our own thing on the Lord's Day, it means we are simply taking for granted all that God has created, as if he was not the creator. The Bible calls that day the Sabbath day. In the Old Testament, it was the Saturday. When Jesus came, he finished his work on the Friday. He died on the cross on the Friday and said, "It is finished." He rested in the tomb on the Sabbath, the Saturday, and he rose from the dead on the Sunday. And so now, ever since that time, the Christian church observes the Sunday as the day of celebrating the new creation. Sunday for us is the Sabbath day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the 7th day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the 7th day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now we come to the next point in this chapter, verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The garden of Eden. Now I may be wrong, but I like to think of the garden of Eden as the world, the whole world, because Genesis 1 tells us God had filled the whole world with beauty. There are 9 planets that go round the sun, aren't there? Mercury, Venus, and then our planet where we're living now, the Earth. Then Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Now God chose one of those planets, the planet Earth, and he turned it into his garden. The rest of the planets, the rest of the solar system, is a wilderness. When the spaceships go past those other planets, they don't see life, they don't see trees, vegetation, or animals, or human beings on those other planets. But those other planets are still beautiful, even though they are only a wilderness. They are still beautiful. We have just been up in Sutherland. One day, last Tuesday, as a family, we climbed the mountain Sulban, the Sugarloaf Mountain. Now that is a wilderness. It is a 7-hour trek there and back just to the bottom of the mountain. It is a real wilderness. There's no gardens there, no sign of other human beings, and yet it is beautiful. Really beautiful. And gardens too have their beauty of a different kind. The garden of God is this world, the beautiful wilderness that God created, the planets, the stars. Now point 3. There are 8 points in this sermon, by the way. A good sermon has 3 points, so this is not a good sermon. It's not. There are 8 points. Point 3. Verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Notice there it says, man is made from the dust of the ground. That means that human beings, like the animals, belong to the earth, this planet. Animals have feelings and instincts, but they have no real freedom. They merely follow their feelings and instincts. Human beings also have feelings and instincts. Nothing wrong with that. But there is more to human beings than feelings and instincts. God, it says in this verse, has also breathed into us the breath of life. That means the spirit of life. So not only do we belong to the earth, like the animals, but also the breath of God is in us. The spirit of God. God has given us a soul. We are not just a bundle of feelings and instincts. We've also got a mind to think and to reflect and to decide and to worship. We do not have to merely follow our feelings and instincts. On the contrary, we are free. Free to wonder at the amazing world. Free to think, why am I alive? Free to pray, to speak to our Creator. Free to decide what we will do with our lives. Animals cannot do those things because they are not souls. They do not have the breath of God in them. So man is made of the dust of the ground. Like the animals, he belongs to the earth, but also he is made in the image of God. So he also belongs to heaven as well as to earth. Fourthly, Verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God made us for companionship. We need human friendship. And it's not just our desire for friendship, it's God's desire for us that we have human friendship and fellowship. A happiness shared is a happiness doubled. A sorrow shared is a sorrow halved, as the saying goes. And it's a true saying. And when we are alone, or made to be alone, and many of us know what loneliness is, we know that there is something wrong with the world, don't we, when we're lonely? We're aware that there's something wrong with the world. Indeed, there is something wrong. Genesis 3 tells us what went wrong. That's not my subject today. That'll be next time. But God made us for companionship. In the new creation, in heaven and earth together, human companionship will be restored. Fifthly, man names the animals. We read in verse 19 to 20. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. In that verse are mentioned farm animals, that's from livestock, and the wild animals, the beasts of the field. Now, although animals are not meant to be our main companion, our fellow human beings are our main companions, yet the animals are created to be in relationship with us as human beings. And so we as human beings, we love to watch the wild animals on our television screens. Or if we're fortunate enough to go to a country where there are wild animals, lions and elephants, then we go and watch them because we're interested in them. You've only got to work on a farm to feel something good about man caring for his sheep, his cattle, his horses as they work for him. There's something very good about that. Most of us do not work on farms. So the family pet dog or cat or budget fills that gap in our lives. Sixthly, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. God has given us work to do, to look after the garden, that is, to care for the world. If a person becomes unemployed without work, he or she feels that something is wrong with the world. Or conversely, if a man or a woman becomes so hard-working that they never take any rest or any holiday, then they become a dull person. And we know that there is something wrong there. Indeed, there is. Genesis 3 tells us that that's not the subject for today. To work and to be useful is part of our humanity. A life filled with nothing but recreation and pleasure is a depressing life. A life which is only hard labor turns out to be very dull. Seventhly, verse 16, we read this. The Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden." God commands the man to be free. The New Testament tells us that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. God does not want to control every little thing you do in life. Not every moment. He wants you to make choices. He doesn't want you to be a robot. There are many good trees in the garden. There are many good things that you and I can do, and we are allowed, God allows us to choose. Now, when I was at Sunday school and in Bible class, or when I attended missionary meetings, we were often told that God has a definite plan for your life. It's already mapped out exactly. You must find out exactly where God wants you to be, whether in Africa or London or Edinburgh or America or Glasgow or wherever it should be. And you must be there and nowhere else. Now, I'm not so sure about that. I believe that there are times when God does bring us to a special place for a special task and a special reason. But generally, He allows us to choose freely how and where to serve Him. My friend, the Reverend Eric Haig, a very godly minister, who actually has preached from this pulpit, a retired man, he had been a missionary for most of his life with his wife in China. He told me that one day, as he was thinking of moving from one church to another church to be its minister, he went to one of the vacant church, a vacant church which hadn't got a minister. He went into the church during the week and prayed, "Lord, do you want to use me and my service in this church?" And he felt the Lord saying to him, "Yes, this is a church where I can use you." Then he went to another church which was also vacant and hadn't got a minister. That church was also open. He went into it during the week and he prayed, "Lord, do you want to use me in this church?" And he felt that the Lord was saying to him, "Yes, I can use you in this church." In other words, in either church, I can use you. God has given us a soul and a mind to make our own decisions. We mustn't just follow our feelings and our instincts. God has given us a soul and a mind to make reasonable decisions before Him in prayer, committing everything to Him. Eighthly, although God has given us great freedom, there is one limitation, one thing we must do, and this is a warning. Verse 17, again, following on from verse 16, "But you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now, chapter 3 of Genesis is the story of how we did exactly that. We ate of that forbidden tree. And all of us have had our share in the eating of that forbidden tree. What does it mean? Well, I'll explain that next week. But briefly, I'll just say now, it means making ourselves our own God. It means turning our soul and mind away from the true God, back upon ourselves, so that we become the center of ourselves instead of God being the center. And what happens then? The soul, our soul, begins to die. And that means that more and more we become governed and ruled only by our feelings, instincts, like the animal. And we lose our freedom. And all the appalling consequences that we see in the world today come upon the world. Now, if our soul begins to die, that means that we're simply the dust of the earth. From dust you came, to dust you will return, God says in Genesis 3. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, "Flesh and blood," and I believe he means flesh and blood alone, "cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven." What will inherit the kingdom of heaven is body and spirit reunited. A renewed spiritual body. A body whose life and power is the very breath of God. God made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him his spirit. And how will you and I inherit this spiritual body? The Son of God, we believe, came amongst us. He became flesh and blood like us. He experienced all the troubles that afflict the world. His blood was shed. His body was buried. And by the Spirit of God, that is, by the breath of God, he was raised from the dead, a spiritual body. The resurrection body of Christ. And by trusting in him, we too will share in the resurrection of eternal life. And that is the only way for us to share in that. Do not take it for granted. If you do, you will never share in it. But make a conscious decision of your mind and your soul to belong to him forever. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we bless you for creating us, men and women in your image, from the dust of the ground and yet also in us the breath of life. And we pray that we might always decide with our mind and soul to belong to Christ, who suffered and died for us, that we might have new life in him, new life in Christ. May this not only be true for the guilds and the ladies' club and the lady visitors, but may it also be true for all of us that we this year and forever may live in Christ our Savior.